This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Dustin Swedelson, 1 hour to go in the summer of Swede. We're saying our goodbyes and we're going back to nighttime. I am curious, though, how many people did not know I existed until I filled in on this show?
That's hilarious. There's a good amount.
You're so out of sight, out of mind in that time slot. Because what I learn is you and I do not see each other during football season.
Yep.
Like, legitimately, we do not cross paths because, I mean, it's just, unless you're living here.
Right, yeah.
Unless you were living, or like, I stayed too late.
Right, exactly, yeah.
There's no world where we cross over anymore. So it would make sense that if you heard me the last couple weeks filling in here for Gil, filling in for you when you were out, like, I don't know who this person is.
I was here later yesterday than I have been in I don't know how long. I left here like 6 o'clock. I waved by to Matt.
6 o'clock at night?
Yeah. I waved by to Matt Eumanns. I saw Matt Eumanns for the first time last night in I don't know how long in person.
I have a question.
It's been a while.
Your social battery doesn't get completely drained?
Because
you're a very affable person. Like, you like being around... Look, I get energy when I'm around people, yeah. But I have my limitations. I reach a point where I'm like kind of done with talking to people.
Yeah, it was it was all Bet Bash yesterday, right?
It's a lot of stimulation.
We finished the show. I prepped some stuff for today. Okay, grabbed a bite to eat, and then did some socializing, I guess, with some people before the seminars began, the panels. And then I sat through two panels for like 3 hours. Drew Dinsick, Phil Bobbitt, great work. If you watch the show, you know who they are.
What was the lunch choice while you were here?
Dude, you know what? I'm very glad you brought it up because there
is. It's the only thing I ever care about.
I wish there were better options downtown here.
What?
There's just not like. There's.
Hold on. I think there's good options. You just got to be willing to do a little exploring.
No, you're right. I actually did. So where I ended up all the way down was that Fremont food court. I went to like the chicken tender place in there.
Oh, Hugh Magoo's.
Yeah. That was good. That's good. But like, I went back and like, I don't know. I didn't really want fried chicken tenders in the afternoon.
Just go past the D. There's a Thai restaurant. That's good. There's a bunch of decent options there. And if you go to the Arts District, if you're willing to go that far.
I wanted something quick though. Okay. So I was trying to grab something quicker. You know?
Yeah. I mean, but that's just the nature of the beast.
I was disgusted. I couldn't think of anything right away. So I was like, you know what always hits? Evil pie. I'm just going to go get a slice of pizza. But then I started walking all the way down there, and I was like, it's too damn hot to be walking this far and eating pizza.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to our friends at Evil Pie. I've actually never had it. I used to just go to Pizza Rock.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Because, by the way...
You know, I've never been to the one downtown here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I've been to the one at Green Valley Ranch.
That's the first place I went to.
I never even thought about that yesterday.
Yeah, Pizza Rock's right there. It's a nice one. Nice location.
Call.
All right. We'll move on from the food breakdowns here and go back to NFL Week 1 because... I said before the break, there was a total that made sense to me based on what you were talking about. And that is two teams that want to play ball control. And I think for different reasons. So I'm looking at the Ravens and Colts. I really like this under 48.5.
Ooh, okay.
Week one. So a couple things at play here for this one. And Baltimore's a 3.5-point favorite on the road. First game for Jesse Minter. Well, Minter is a defensive-minded head coach. What else makes me lean under? Think about the system and the coaching style he's been living with Jim Harbaugh the last few years. I think the biggest difference we're seeing in the Harbaugh era and the Staley era in the Chargers is Jim Harbaugh came in and said, hold on, we're throwing way too many passes. We need to condense this game, play for the fourth quarter, out-execute our opponent. I think that Jesse Minter, as a defensive-minded head coach, that needs to be his mindset, especially with a quarterback with Lamar Jackson, with his ability to take over with his legs, be an efficient guy through the air. You don't want Lamar dropping back and throwing it 45 times. You want him to pick people apart in the right key moments. And then on the other side in week one, you have Daniel Jones coming off the Achilles, right? Alec Pierce, I don't know if he's going to be ready for the first game of the season. I think Indy leans heavily on the run. Mm-hmm. They want to chew up the clock. They don't want to shoot out with Baltimore either because they don't really have the ponies to run that race. I think I think 48.5 feels like, I don't know, like 3 points too high for me.
You know what? Would lean that way myself. I think that was a pretty easy game for me to just move on from. I just have some questions with the Colts everything coming back, right? How, and look, I think fair questions on the Ravens side too that you just brought up, right?
Yeah.
But just how is this? Is this going to be the Colts from the beginning of the last season right away? Is this the Colts somewhere towards the end of last season? What version of the Colts are we going to get out of the gates? I think that's tough for me to figure out. All the changes on the Ravens side you brought up. I think this is a pretty easy, clear stay away for me. It would be like lean to the Ravens side, but I'm not laying more than 3 points on the road in week one.
No. If I was going to bet it, I would lean Colts because it's like one of those disgusting week one games.
Yeah.
New head coach on one side. But I really like the under there. I don't think we're getting a shootout. That jumped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the one that I feel like this is going to mess people up in Survivor, right? And that is the Saints going to the Lions. And you know me, I'm not as high on the Saints. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like everyone else. But I also don't love the Lions roster. And I think the Lions have a very favorable schedule this year. They're 7-point favorites. The total's 48.5. But the thing that really stands out to me is the Lions have key issues, young offensive tackle starting that they drafted in Blake Miller. They still need to get help on the pass rush for Aiden Hutchinson. Before Terrion Arnold was gone and dealing with the legal issues, they already needed another corner. Both of their safeties are banged up in camp and coming off injuries. I think the Saints might be live to win this one outright as 7-point dogs, giving them a touchdown with the upside of a full offseason now. Kellen Moore was implementing everything new a year ago. He didn't have his quarterback yet. He has his quarterback in Tyler Shuck. Now they're able to add on to everything they built with the foundation a year ago. I like New Orleans catching 7 on the road at Detroit.
Yeah, but not one that I would be rushing to bet today. We talked about the timing,
sure.
right? Getting the best of the number versus you know, waiting out and seeing if you have any more injuries that occur. Completely with you, though. This would be, if this game was being played tomorrow, it would be Saints plus the points or pass. Will probably be pass, but I'm with you. That's the side I've got circled there. Both these teams, a little bit, you got to show it to me, right? Like, we've talked about the Saints team. We've talked about the Lions. We think they're going to benefit from that schedule. I got to see how good that team is. I've got questions about the defense for the Lions, right?
Yeah.
And then Saints, you got to run this back and show it to me again on offense, right? Can you be real? So I think I'd be on the sidelines, lean with the taking the points.
It's also the week one factor.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to be more prepared for an opponent. The Saints than this week. Now, you could say the same about Detroit, but that's why I like the dog.
No, I like that reason. The other thing you brought up quick last segment, I wanted to make sure to circle back on. This is, if I'm looking, this is what I do. Everybody's got to come up with their own betting strategies, but this, whether it's the start of NBA season or NFL season, if I'm looking at dogs, it is much more betting much more on the money line than what I usually will be betting in week 6, week 7, because what do you have? One of the upsides you have against the book is that this is the start of a brand new season for odds makers as well.
Definitely no data.
You got no data to go off of, right? We've all seen where we start these seasons and we are wildly off one way or the other on these teams. And that the sports books are not immune to that too. They will have the same issues.
Hit me with one. What jumps out to you week one in the NFL?
I really like, we brought up a Bills-Texans game. I like that under. I think you could look at either of those teams in a teaser, and I think the obvious other leg for the teaser is the Jags hosting the Browns. Yeah, they're laying 7.5. We've talked about the Browns. I've got no faith in this team whatsoever this season. You get that down to 1.5 on the Jags side. I think that's a great teaser. One of the other ones, I'll throw out two because I think you and I might both be on these.
No, I have a feeling you're going to say one where you put Huey Magoo's in your mouth yesterday. Now we're going to find out if you and I will put our money where our mouth is.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Bears laying 2.5 on the road against the Panthers or the Jets catching 3 against the Tennessee Titans.
I'm going to tell you this. You know I think the Panthers stink. The Panthers scare me in that one at home against Chicago.
Okay.
It's one of those games that it's so hideous with wanting to back Carolina that I feel like they're the play. Chicago's better. And it's one of those wins with Chicago's schedule that they have to get on the road.
They're better, yeah.
But it feels so obvious to lay it with Chicago that it terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one you said?
Jets. Our Jets, man.
That's putting our money where our mouth
is. So this is one where we talk about the timing, right? There is not many threes left on the board for this game. It is mainly 2.5s out there. I see a 3 at DraftKings right now, and that is actually the only one. So we've gone to 2.5 everywhere else. This might be another teaser leg.
Here's the problem with wanting to back the Jets early. Because even though Tennessee has a whole new regime in there, for the Jets, it's a lot of new too.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Sauce Gardner last season. They traded Quinn and Williams. They're working in like four or five new starters in free agency, two or three from the draft. And then offensively, you know, your third receiver is going to be a rookie. Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end, who knows if he's going to be available, but he's a rookie as well. I just think it's a lot of new, despite it being year two for Aaron Glenn. But if I'm betting it, I am looking at the dog. And I love what Tennessee's doing. I still believe in Robert Saleh getting a second crack at this as a head coach in the National Football League.
Me too.
But I think it may we may have just gone too far with the love for them.
No, I agree. The other one that's interesting is this total's kind of on the move as well. We're getting this was one that was into the 30s, starting to tick up. There are some 40s out there now. Anywhere between 38.5 and 40 available.
And then 49ers-Rams. This is going to be an international game in Australia.
Yeah, we got to say that like every time. Because
the sports book is, this should be illegal.
We've
this
had
is predatory.
This conversation, yep.
The sports books list it as, I think, 49ers at Rams.
Mm-hmm.
It is not at Rams. It is at Australia. It is at the Outback, okay? So I like the under. I think the travel elements at play. Shanahan, by the way, 33-26 to the under as a dog. He's an underdog here of 3.5. McVay, 63-44 to the under as a favorite. There's familiarity. I think because it's early, they're going to condense the game as well. 48.5 feels like a lot for this all this travel that they're doing. Football season, it's right around the corner. We're all over it. And just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, sharpen your reads before the season starts. Enter at jointhesharps.com, scan the QR code on your screen, and use code VEASAN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VEASAN50. Chris the Bear Felica joins us next after scaring me on social media this morning into thinking someone had died.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson, Kelly Bidlin coming at you as always, Circa Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. I'm noticing we're on, what, day three of Bet Bash, and Sportsbook's a little bit quieter this early in the morning.
It's really funny.
Perhaps the war of attrition with the long days and the even longer nights as people made their way out to Las Vegas, starting to get to some of the people in town.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. There's a lot of people here for sports betting in this casino.
Well, there was a lot of people.
None of them are in the book right now.
But there was a lot of people during the day while we were doing our show the last couple days. And now I'm just noticing it's only a couple gentlemen and all the proxies waiting to sign people up for the contest. Where are we at with the contest, by the way, as I'm giving the audience a great shot of the Yarmulke bald spot that I have? We are at 1468 in Million, 68 in Survivor, and Grandissimo's at 17. Dude, Grandissimo's crazy. That is absolutely nuts.
Man, we've had a few of those trickle in here over the past week.
And I think our next guest might be entered in Grandissimo. I think he's got his own entry by himself.
I already maxed out entries.
He is Chris the Bear Felica, Fox Sports betting analyst, Bear Bets podcast, at Chris Felica on X. Chris, thanks for doing this. Appreciate you hanging out with us after a wild travel schedule for you. You got to explain the logistics to me. You spent a couple days out here. You were here literally yesterday. Now you're back home already? When did you get in?
Well, even before that, I was in L.A. last weekend for our Fox Sports football preseason meeting. So I flew to L.A. Thursday, in L.A. Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, flew home late Saturday, and then turned back around Tuesday morning, flew to Vegas, and then flew back out home here to Connecticut on Thursday, only because we're turning around and then we've had a vacation planned for next week. So we're headed out again on an Alaska cruise next week. So yeah, I am all over the place right now. But yeah, sorry, I had to leave early and get back here to get stuff ready for a trip.
That's insanity.
By the way, to answer your question, I got three grandies.
Yeah, of course. I'm sure the Bear Bets podcast has one by themselves, as you guys as a group, to promote it every week.
Hardly.
All right, I want to talk about your trip out here. But first, you scared me this morning because I saw your tweet in response to Lee Corso turning 91. But I just saw on the timeline Lee Corso 91. I'm like, oh no, am I going to have to do a eulogy on the show tonight for a legend in the game? But we should acknowledge your relationship with Lee Corso going back to your game day days. 91 years old, still doing it, man. What an icon.
Oh, he's the best. As I said, he is the GOAT. He is a man that basically, I think all of us who are in the pregame show business owe him a massive debt of gratitude. I mean, he made it cool. He made it must-watch TV. With a blend of humor and entertainment and knowledge and wit. I had called him a little while ago, got his voicemail. I'm sure he's going to call me back. Maybe he'll even call me back during the segment. I'm not going to put him on, but he's the man that gave me the nickname as well. So without him, there's no Bear.
Oh, really? See, that's right. I always like those origin stories of like how someone got their nickname. When I first met Patrick Maher, fun fact, I said, hi, my name's Dustin. You can call me Swede because everyone called me Swede my whole life. He goes, yeah, I'm not going to do that. You can't give yourself your own nickname. He has never once referred to me as Swede.
By the way, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to do that. Then he came up with the big guy, and then the big guy stuck. So that ended up working out for me. I promise we'll get to the sports, but a couple items we got to get through here. One, Vinny Malulo tonight being inducted into the Sports Betting Hall of Fame right behind us. And our connection is when I first came out with Patrick to do shows for Mad Dog Radio on VSiN before we ever worked here. Vinny pulled me aside and was like, hey, you guys had Chris on? We go way back. Can you give him give me his number? I'd love to have him on. So that's our connection. And Vinny's a legend in the game. And my favorite is finding out after the fact that the book that I read, Michael Koenig's The Smart Money, that Vinny is one of the characters in the book that I enjoyed so much. But talk to me about Vinny, what it means and what he means to you and him being a Hall of Famer today.
No, Vinny is awesome. Like, I have known Vinny for 30 years, I would say, going back to the mid-90s and his days at Caesars. I can remember going to Caesars for the 94 World Cup it was. I think it was 94.
Yeah.
And I hung out there. Where, maybe 98. It was 98. It was because I was still in Miami in 94. But it was 98. I actually went to Caesars with Chris Fowler after the X Games were over. We took a little trip and hung out at Caesars. We watched the infamous England World Cup match against Argentina with the red. Vinny was out there, took care of it. So I've known Vinny for a while, going back to horse racing days and such. Well, we're both New Yorkers. We're diehard Islanders fans. It was funny. We were joking the other day when he came over and said hello. We were joking about Comac Arena and the Long Island Ducks. So, Vinny and I are cut from a lot of the same cloths and it's good to have a lot of similar connections, and that means obviously mutual friends, mutual respect amongst a lot of people. But Vinny is one of the good guys, the best guys in the industry, and certainly well deserved induction there.
Yeah, it was it's probably been a couple of years since I've seen him at this point, Dustin. We shared a long embrace in the middle of Bet Bash yesterday. It was a long hug, Vinny, and I shared yesterday.
That is
love
like
that, man.
With a bullet. Favorite person in Vegas, and
really
I don't see
is.
Him enough, but so he's the reason I'm here. I don't know if people know this. When Patrick left our old Mad Dog show and he did his final show, and ironically he's back on Mad Dog now, but you get my point. People were calling in crying. Grown men were crying. Vinny called in to congratulate Patrick and everything, and then he goes on the end of his call, all right, Patrick, I got you. I'm coming for the big guy next. He texts me after. He goes, give me your resume. And that's how the ball got rolling on me winding up at
VSiN. Awesome. That's awesome. I don't know if you caught this when Chris was telling his story, but I have to ask this question to clarify. Did I pick up that you and Chris Fowler were at the X Games? Were you working the X Games?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Chris was one of the original X Games voices. He and cool. Chris McHenry and a bunch of other. But yeah, back when I first started at ESPN, we were still, it was like, I work like seasonal positions.
Right.
So I was like the college game day, college football researcher. Then I would do college basketball researcher. And then it would kind of be a little bit of a lull. And then as a way to just to kind of bridge the gap and make some money because I wasn't getting paid, I became the X Games researcher because Chris, I had a great relationship with Chris. So he kind of got me on board there. And yeah, no, I worked the 98 X Games in San Diego, which were awesome. I remember Rat Salt and Biker Sherlock and
this is amazing. This is amazing.
De Silva, all of the great X Games athletes at the time. So yeah, spent a couple weeks in San Diego, and then later that year we had the Winter X Games out in Crested Butte, which were I was actually in Colorado the day that the Jets and Broncos played the AFC Championship game. And Jets had the lead and wound up losing. But no, I was a vaunted X Games researcher back in the day.
This is amazing.
That was a fun couple of weeks. Great weather, great time. Very, very loose. And then, yeah, we celebrated in Vegas afterwards.
What is Chris Felica's all-time favorite X Games trick name? Because there's so many. Well, right? You got the melon.
I was all about the bike stunt vert. That was kind of my favorite event. And to be there under the lights with the music going and the crowd pumping. Yeah, the bike stunt vert was my X Games event of choice.
Chris Felica is with us, Fox Sports, Bear Bets Podcast, at Chris Felica on X. All right, we've been on the air since some of this news is developing in college football right now, and I'm kind of dumb. It takes a lot of reading and punching it into AI for me to comprehend. What the heck is going on now with the conferences and the rules that they're trying to implement, and how does this impact leagues like the ACC and the Big 12?
Well, I think that's what I'm trying to figure out as well, why Cody Campbell
is still talking.
No, talking's fine. But why is he behind in supporting this bill? Because it's something that clearly goes against Texas Tech and his school and his collective's like best interest. Like the schools that kind of got their ducks in a row in terms of their collectives and their boosters, like Texas Tech, Miami is another one. Like the way the bill is kind of out there right now, it kind of keeps the SEC and the Big Ten. It really does create them as the Big Two, and it kind of sets a salary cap. And I just don't know why like someone like that would want to do it. It eliminates conference movement, so like Miami couldn't potentially go to another conference. And things like that. So I'm just baffled because I can't even imagine people in the SEC, programs in the SEC being for this. Like you're telling me Lane Kiffin is going to tell Steve Scalise, oh yeah, no, we're good with a $50 million cap for everyone. We don't want anybody to be able to, like, he's going to be okay with that. LSU with more booster money and deeper pockets than almost anyone out there. So I can't see how this is ultimately even going to come to a vote. Before they recess, I think there will be changes. Is it going to ultimately wind up with a Super League where it's kind of the Big Ten, the SEC, and a couple of teams from the ACC, Big 12, wherever else, maybe. But I just don't get the hesitation and why we can't all see the writing on the wall that ultimately this is going to end with some unionization and college athletes being negotiated with it as employees.
All right, we will talk about Indiana coming up next. Should people be doubting them? And more importantly, a topic we are experts on, Buffalo wing ordering strategy. That's next on Visa.
A numbers game on Visa, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander. 30 minutes remaining in the Summer of Swede tour. My watch will end at the end of this hour. We go back to late nights, cashing out, return Sunday night. And then once football begins, I'll guide you through all the primetime action Monday, Thursday, Sunday night football. We join with those games in progress.
What was your favorite moment from the Summer of Swede?
The Summer of Swede, my favorite moment.
What all shows did you do?
It was less about the actual shows. It was more about that I could go out to dinner during the week,
yeah,
and have a life for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed that aspect of it because I don't think people realize this. The show may start at 8. I go on with Patrick at 7 on Mad Dog, and there's not really a window to do things.
Mm-hmm.
because you're kind of held hostage by the whole day. Like, the news cycle starts going. Next thing you look up, it's time to leave for work.
Yeah, right? Those Follow the Money hours are pretty good, huh?
Oh, Follow the Money was a cushy shift. After those boys do in the middle of the morning for such a long time.
Yeah, they deserve it. Yeah,
no, you could see the life back in their eyes.
You really can. Never,
like, Mitch and Paul have actual energy again after, like, we'd be sitting in here and I'd be like, all right, guys, are we good to go? And they'd be like, you don't understand. We did this for years before you. Our bodies are 20 years older than they look.
I caught up with Paul yesterday, too. I haven't seen him in a while.
See?
It's amazing. It's amazing what happens around here, Dustin, when I'm here past noon. Well, it's like other shows go on.
Chris Felica was out here for the last week, and I did see on social media you made it over to Naked City. That is pretty much the network's favorite spot for wings and pizza. I missed my invitation, Sammy P, to join everyone at the event.
Wow.
Let's talk.
Paulie didn't make it over there either. Maybe Mitch came over, but Paulie, I did not
see
him there.
You know what? That's what Paulie does. I got to tell you, we used to do show. We used to try to do like an annual show lunch for pizza when I was on that show. I think three straight years we scheduled it. Paul said he would be there, and then Paul no-showed. So that is a Paulie Howard special.
I didn't get an invite, but you know what? Sammy and I also shared a hug yesterday, so it's okay. Been a while since I've seen him.
I almost tweeted Sammy P because they showed a picture of him doing the Vinny stuff, and he was in this great blue suit, but I thought it was creepy. I was going to say, you are wearing the F out of that suit. I wanted to, but like, I feel like guy to guy, you can't say that.
He looked good. That's why I ran him into yesterday.
He looked good.
You're good.
But let's talk wing strategy, because I think there's no conversation that the three of us are better to put our minds together on. You went to get wings with everyone. What is your strategy, Chris Felica, for wing ordering?
You know, I'm not necessarily super hot. We have a great wing here in Connecticut. By the way, the Naked City, the Cajun butter wing. Ooh. Oh my goodness, that was like Sammy's like, yeah, I ordered a half a sheet pizza, 40 hot, 40 medium, and 20 Cajun butter. I'm like, Cajun, what's Cajun butter? Oh, they were the best wings of the bunch. But we have a great wing spot here in Connecticut called J. Timothy's, and they have like a honey gold wing, and the wings are fried, sauced, fried again, sauced again. Ooh. So they're double sauced, double fried, a honey gold barbecue. Those are the absolute best wings that I have ever had, and I'll put those up against that. But those Cajun butter ones are probably a very, very close second.
Man, there's too much going on in that wing for me. Have you ever had the Cajun butter over there?
And no ranch. Blue cheese.
Blue cheese. No ranch. Yes. Blue cheese is what wings were meant to be dipped in. That's how it was originally created. I have not had the Cajun butter. I like piping hot. I like mango habanero. I want to sweat, but here's the key. About 8-9, I'm so fat, I'm literally drooling on the air. About eight, nine wings in, if it's hot enough, I will have, like, you know, the old anti-littering ad where the Native American has the garbage and the one tear falls down.
Yeah.
If the wings are good, about 8-9 wings in, I'll have one tear just go right down my face, and I can't touch it because I have wing fingers.
Yeah, you can't. I'm with Chris. You can't go too hot. I guess I would say I'm more of a medium to hot guy. I like grilled. Mm-hmm. I like garlic on mine too. A little hot garlic.
Here's the controversy. And there's good people that I love on both sides of the debate. Chris Felica, are you a flats or drums person?
Flats.
It's always been an odd
debate. Did I lose respect there?
No, flats is the right answer, Kelly.
I've been told it's the right answer. I'm going to go drums.
Drums, too much cartilage, too much other stuff in there. But the vehicle for sauce that is a flat wing, the way it's laid out.
It's like a scoop. It's perfect. In there. It's perfect.
And it's more surface area of skin to get crispier. Mm-hmm. And you can break it apart so it feels like you're getting two wings. You have to do a little bit of work for it. The flat answer is the right. All right. I've gone more in depth on wings than I have on
X Games, wings. Not actually betting the X Games.
Let me ask you about this.
Yeah, that's going to be bald glasses, big wings. We
got it covered, my man. Let's go. All right. Matt Humans had a really good write-up in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. You can get it right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. You can start as low as $9.99 or stay 50% off an annual plan. And he said that a lot of bookmakers are saying people are not backing Indiana. You've been doing this a long time, Chris. And pre-transfer portal NIL, it feels like everyone would say, well, they're the champions till they're not anymore. They're not even atop the betting board. I understand they lost a lot, but do you think it's weird that everyone's just doubting Cignetti and the Hoosiers getting back here?
It's so weird. Like, I've never seen a dichotomy. If you look at the preseason coaches poll, they received the second highest number of first place votes, 14. and they were ranked sixth. So like it that goes to show you that it's kind and what Matt's saying, it kind of reflects that either you think they're going to be really good, that the chance or they're not, or you've got a lot of questions and a lot of doubt. And we were talking about this on our panel, like, is there a team in the top 10 that you would bet the no to make the playoff? And Jeff brought up Indiana, and we kind of started talking. And while you look at the schedule, they're going to go 6-0. They're also a team that last year had every single play that they needed go their way. Anytime they needed a big third down or a fourth down conversion, that they made it. Every time they needed to play, they got the stop. Everything went their way. They don't have Sigs, veteran guys from JMU. Now, yes, they did get a couple of guys, Daly and another defensive lineman came back after not getting drafted, and the extension gave them that fifth year to stay in there. So, excuse me, their defense is going to be improved. But could you make a case that they start 6-0? And then they lose to Ohio State, and maybe you lose a couple of other, maybe you lose in Michigan, or you lose to SC, or you lose to Washington. Maybe you're sitting there 9-3, and maybe they are in a playoff team. But I think maybe Hoover isn't the guy that to immediately step in and replace Mendoza, who made every single play imaginable when it was needed last year. So I am not like totally down on Indiana. I think they're a 10-2 baseline type team, but at some point, like all the group think, like we have to throw out some type of like hypothetical, contrarian, what if type of deal. But yeah, I still think this is a 10-2 team at worst, and I expect them to be back in the playoff.
Yeah, Chris, when you're talking about the group think and where we're at this point in the summer, I mean, we've been going through bets with you for the past couple months now, or a few months probably, leading up to the season here. Is there one that you have heard either a lot of the other side, or is there a group think bet that you've heard a lot of that you just disagree with completely at this point?
USC to make the playoff, USC to be a playoff team is something that I have heard a lot of. I'm not necessarily there. An unfortunate injury on the offensive line yesterday, losing your starting center. So I don't think USC beat any of the big three teams, Ohio State, Indiana, or Oregon in the Big Ten. I think they potentially could lose to Washington. I think they could potentially lose to UCLA. I think the game at Penn State, they're a slight underdog. So, yeah, I disagree a little bit with that, and I think Louisville is probably the second best team in the East. Here's one. I've heard a lot of support from a lot of people that I respect on your network that do great work, mm-hmm. like with the Clemson to make the ACC championship game. I don't see it. Like, this is a team that went 7-5, so 7-6 with the bowl game last year. You lose all those NFL players that got drafted off the line. You've got an inexperienced quarterback, a running game that's kind of been non-existent, an offensive coordinator that who knows if it's going to work out. Like, I'm kind of down on Clemson. So while I respect the play, I respect the price, I'm not quite there with Clemson. And it would not surprise me if they got off to a rough start this year and the Wolves came howling there. Like, you look, I mean, I would expect them to lose to LSU. A game at Cal is going to be very, very dangerous with JKS and Tosh LaPoy out there. The Miami game, I don't expect them to win. Like, they're probably going to be 2-3 headed to that Charleston Southern game, and then we'll see what happens.
Plus, you know, just stroll into the Doak on Halloween and count a W already, all right, Dustin? I don't care how bad FSU is.
And the thought usually with Clemson is, well, they have a lot returning because they don't really live in the portal. No. Chris, they don't have that much returning. They've lost a lot of pieces here. I'm with you on USC. That back end of the Big Ten schedule, in the cold in October, they're going to Penn State. They're going to Wisconsin. Then they have Ohio State. Then they go back to Indiana. And oh, by the way, UCLA is not a cakewalk to finish the schedule now. I think USC is going to be way better than they were last year. I can't buy making the playoff. He's Chris the Bear Felica. Check out the Bear Bets podcast and on X at Chris Felica. Appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll chat soon.
You got it. Baeza and the Whitney, Goodall in the Test, and West End Kid in the Saratoga Derby on Saturday. Three horse race and picks on the way out the door.
More importantly, flats and blue cheese. That's the way a real man does it.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The last segment of the Summer of Swede Tour ends. My watch will end here. Kelly Bidlin and I about to go out like Justin Herbert and Madison Beer at Chargers practice the other day.
Ooh, yeah. That was Justin Herbert just focused on all the right things. You know what? I hate on him so much. That probably came across as sarcastic, but no, I'm big dead serious. It's training camp, dude.
Yeah. What is he doing? What is he doing? He doesn't need to do anything.
Yeah, you're good, man.
I'm ready. Here's what I need. I either need Justin Herbert to be the MVP, or I need Justin Herbert to be so horrendous. Either way, Matt Heumann's crushing him for getting married will be must watch.
Yes, it will.
You know
be.
What I mean? Direction of it, I need it to be spectacular either way. And speaking of spectacular, I'm told the crew has a surprise for us. The Bearded Brothers back together. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I always refer to that as we are the New Age Outlaws here. And I'm told they have something fun cooked up for us to check out. Oh, look at that. Greg Hoops Peterson in the middle. I love it. D-Generation X, wow. Let's go.
Wow.
Look at that. Guys, that's Kelly's face from like 100 pounds ago.
Yeah, what happened to my face? I got stung by two bees.
All of a sudden, I look like I lost weight. And Kelly found it.
That's hilarious. Great job.
I think they even made you bigger than you used to be.
Well, I don't know. From the neck down, I'm looking great.
Yeah, you
look
ripped.
That's what I'm going for now, man. I'm just trying to add that muscle.
And then Matt Heumann's. Could you imagine Matt Heumann's doing that finger motion?
Maybe this applies to me as well, but like it looks like Greg and both Matts got more muscle definition in their faces. Like they added muscle to their face.
They got extra.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate whoever covered up the gap between my two front teeth. That's very appreciated because that is something that I stare at all day where I'm like, do I just get Invisalign? Do I get veneers? I'm scared of getting veneers and popping on the air one day and being like, look at this. And everyone knows I got new teeth.
Also, it's the two of us on this show talking about this. And yeah, you're right. I think the AI did the worst job with the two of us.
Greg Peterson looks cool though in the middle.
He does.
He looks really cool. He'd be the high flyer amongst us. That is incredible.
Who was on the reality show we came up with the other day? Greg, Matt Heumann's,
and Paulie.
And Paulie, that's right.
Yeah, I mean that. I'm telling you, I'd win awards for that show.
We should be doing it right now.
I don't know what we'd learn, but there'd be a lot happening. I know that much. All right, with that, we should start looking ahead to the baseball card for today because I do have a bunch of plays that I like, and I want to start with the Mets going to the Pirates. So Zach Thornton and the Mets are plus $1.20 at the Buccos, minus -129 with Pittsburgh. Total is 8 in this one. It's come down. We opened around 140. I saw some shops north of 140, but it's down to minus -129 with Pittsburgh. I like the Pirates in Majemski. He's been banished to the bullpen lately. He has a chip on his shoulder, wants to prove he's a starter. I don't know how deep he can go, but the Mets just swept the Guardians. Now they travel to Pittsburgh. Something just feels a little bit off to me. And Zach Thornton, the lefty, he's off his worst start in his short career in the majors. 4 2/3, 3 earned, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, and a 6-2 loss to Miami. 4.91 ERA over his last two. And Pittsburgh, 7th in runs against lefties, 12th in average, 21st in OPS. I think they'll be able to get to him here. So give me Majemski, give me Pittsburgh. I'll take him at the price of minus -129.
Okay, like it. Yeah, but let's roll through these. I made some preseason bets, too.
The next two, I'm going unders in two games. The Blue Jays and the Phillies first off. I just don't see a lot of runs being scored in this one at Citizens Bank. Jose Soriano, first start as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. And then Zach Wheeler on the other end. I think still, like, plenty left in the tank here coming off his last start where he was knocked out because of a rain delay. Two innings, one hit, no runs, 3 strikeouts at Baltimore on Sunday. He's going to be very, very rested for this matchup. I don't hate Toronto at almost plus 2-1 right now. They're plus $1.95. I consider that. I wouldn't do a Wheeler K prop. He might get there, but Toronto doesn't strike out a ton. That's one thing I just point out here. But I think we're going to have a very low scoring game because I like both pitchers on the bump. And then under in Braves and Yankees, I got under 8.5 late last night at minus 120. It's Matt. Oh, no, you know what? You know what? It's Tyler Molly. It was Chris Sale when I looked last night. See, this is the problem when you bet ahead of time. I don't love that it's Tyler Molly now. Molly. But what I'd say is I also don't love the Yankees offense. I'll stand by this one here. But Max Fried, I think, has enough to limit the Atlanta bats at this point in time. So give me the under in this matchup in at or in New York.
It's down to 8 anyways.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird it went down to 8, honestly, with Molly being substituted for Sale.
Yeah, so, I mean, you would just say stay away at this point, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, you got the 8.5.
Yeah, it's weird. Guardians, White Sox, give me Parker Messick in Cleveland on the road here. They've lost 3 in a row. He's had 2 great starts against the White Sox this season. 1 earned in 5 innings, 2 earned in 7 2/3, struck out 10 in one of those. He also has better numbers on the road. His hits are down. K's are a little bit down as well, but a 2.2 ERA on the road. Noah Schultz, 5.82 ERA. And I think Cleveland, with some of the additions they made at the deadline to the offense, most notably Joe Adell, guys who can hit off left-handed pitching, give me Cleveland at -135. And then I'm going to take a shot on a dog here. I like the Orioles at +135 at the Rangers. Shane Baz has been really good lately. The Orioles are a game out of a wild card. I think they're playing better baseball. And then we're going to go with the Rays at just slightly a plus price. I'm sorry, that shouldn't be the Rays. It should be the Mariners. It's the Rays. Sorry, I got confused here. The Rays +101 at the Mariners. Rasmussen versus Gilbert. Gilbert has not been that good or at home. Rasmussen off 6 shutout innings against the White Sox, 13-inning scoreless streak, 3.07 road ERA. I like the Rays. More importantly, aside from Rasmussen, let's say it's a wash with the pitchers. Tampa Bay's offense is going to score. I never know if Seattle scores.
Yeah. Yeah, that one seems a little off to me. I might be riding along with you on that. Yeah, plus it's plus money still everywhere on that one. Anywhere I'm seeing between even money +105 on Tampa. I might be joining you. We got preseason week 1 lines coming down during the show. I made a couple bets. We'll see if Dustin approves of these after our conversation the other day about coaches and quarterback depth charts and all that stuff. Okay, first off, we'll start with a teaser. Maybe you don't want to tease in the preseason. That's fine. But when these totals are this low, I can't help myself. Both of these are 38.5. So I took the Colts up to 7.5. They're on the road against the Patriots, catching 1.5. The Colts were a team that you and I talked a little bit about liking that quarterback depth chart. I believe they were on your list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Anthony Richardson, yep. Riley Leonard there. Chargers on the road at Houston, catching 1.5 right now with the other leg of that, took that up to 7.5. Chargers were one of those. For me, Trey Lance back there, a couple of experienced quarterbacks that are going to get some time, and DJ Uyunglele on that roster as well. So teaser to start there. Titans, this one is on the move. I took 2.5 open. It has already moved down to 1.5. It even flipped favorites at Caesars here since this is opened like an hour ago. So if you want to join me on the Titans side, get in now. +1.5s still available. Still like that one. And then Chiefs money line. I think this is my favorite one. Ooh. Chiefs money line with the Rams coming to town. Chiefs favorite, 1.5 favorite. I just laid the -125 money line on Kansas City.
I love your conviction in preseason football.
Let's go fire, man. I mean, smaller stakes, but I come out of the gate firing, man. We identify these teams that we want to back. Boom, let's go.
Also, I think it's preseason for us. See if some totally. Of your, not that the strategy totally carries over from like a game flow standpoint, but it's more about just identifying. I think the thing for me is identifying opportunities that make sense, mm-hmm. right? It's more about, well, I think this quarterback's going to get a lot of run. I think he has something to prove. I think this team with a new coach, they want to lay the foundation for a transition to become a more successful yep. organization. You're going to see a lot of discipline from this team. It's all about finding the angles that jump out to you and make sense and see if it translates. You might be wrong, but you're going to find out if your viewpoint on a team is going to be right, and that part could carry over into the regular season.
100%. Yep. Yeah, for example, but speaking of that, I mean, like the Chargers. I'm excited to see what does a Mike McDaniel offense look like with the Chargers, right?
But you're also excited to then blame Justin Herbert for it failing.
Well, yeah, but that's a regular season thing because we're not going to see Justin Herbert, right? Like this is the first week we're going to see that.
But down the road, you're going to be able to now have your data points go. Look how good the offense was in the preseason with the backups. How come Justin Herbert doesn't look that good?
You said it perfectly earlier. That guy better win a Super Bowl, or there is going to be he's going to have a lot of incoming from me.
I am a Herbert apologist because I still stand by a lot of his shortcomings were Brandon Staley related. But he did hurt his case a couple times last year.
It's not even him. It's more the media and all of us, right? These guys that are just, they just get the prince that was promised, right? When they were 15 years old, it's, oh, he's going to get every college offer. He'll be in the pros. And it's the coaches seemingly never change their minds on these guys.
Yeah, but dude.
But it's like at some point you got to win some.
He's got it all.
He does.
And now he has Madison Beer on top of it.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
you have me for another 43 seconds here on the numbers game.
Hey, thank you, Dustin, for filling in. Thank you to Jared Moore for filling in, for Danny as well. You guys were awesome to work with, as always.
I appreciate you having me. I appreciate everyone on every single show having me in the Summer of Sweet. I really enjoyed it. Getting to meet some of you out here that are hearing my voice for the first time. And if you liked it, if you hated it, just come hang out with us on Cashing Out. You'll like and hate that as well. I like and hate myself. That's why we have therapy in about an hour and 5 minutes right after the show gets done. And after the show gets done, it's Prop Points coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.